You're listening to the WP Tonic, WordPress and Tech, focused on building a successful business in WordPress aimed at the WordPress professional and power user. Join Jonathan Denwood and Kurt Von Annen as your host and co-host as we bring you great discussions from around the globe.
Welcome back, folks, to another WP Tonic monthly roundtable show. This is episode 979. We've got some fabulous stories this month, September 2025, and got a great panel. We've got a special guest. We've got Toby Sings from the Mighty Mo. He's also does a fabulous podcast with my co-host, Kurt, and it should be a great interview. I'm going to let the panel introduce themselves. And like I say, we've got some fab WordPress and tech stories in general to discuss. So, Toby, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the tribe?
Sure. My name is Toby Crines. I live in Minneapolis, Minnesota. I've been doing WordPress for 19 years now, professionally. So,
eternity. I've got Mark with me. Mark, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, I am Mark Benzikane, and I work with the awesome people at MainWP, and I do a bunch of other stuff in the WordPress community, and I have not been involved in WordPress as long as Toby, but it feels about as long. So,
yep, I can understand that. I've got Kurt. Kurt, would you like to introduce yourself?
I didn't know we were having a contest today. I started my WordPress username in 2004. I've been with WordPress a while. My name is Kurt Von Annen. I own a company called Manana No Mas, and I work directly with the great folks and team over at WP Tonic.
That's before me. I got started getting involved with it around 2008, 2009. Spencer,
are you sure about 2004? In fact,
I had to look it up to join Post Status. When I joined Post Status, it said, what is your WordPress username and when was it reserved, and then you have to look it up on WordPress.org or whatever, and then it tells you, and it's 2004. I surprised myself.
Wow.
I mean, it started in May 27, 2003, so you were definitely right there.
I'm always an early adopter, so you got to keep up with me.
I didn't start till I feel like an old timer now, in 2006. It's Spencer Foreman, started in, I want to say, September 06. Long enough. It feels like it's been forever, and it's getting longer.
Yeah.
Well, it isn't going to get shorter.
So we're going to be discussing some fabulous stories. Got WordPress project launch, a new experimental core program. I added another story quickly. Nick Hamez, Cool Kids Post kicks off fresh debate on WordPress. Then we're going to be talking about Google's legal problems. Then an article on the WP Minute about AI page builders, and a load of other stuff. Should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We'll be back in a few moments.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning fast load times, enterprise grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Coming back, want to point out, if you're building a membership website or a community website for a client and you're looking for a great host that specializes in the needs of membership, why don't you look at hosting at WP Tonic? We've got a fabulous package. We provide great hosting technology and support, and it's really financially very attractive. You can find all the details by going over to wp-tonic.com/partners. wp-tonic.com/partners. So let's go straight into it. I did add just a quick story to the last minute, but I did post it in our shared calendar. But the main story was this new experimental core program, but there was also a story about Nick Hamays. Cool Kids post kicks off fresh debate on WordPress image problem. So I don't know how to start. Let's start with Toby. You're muted though, Toby. But of those two stories, which one do you want to kick off with?
I think they both are like cool kids types of questions, right? Like you have to be really deep in WordPress to even understand the titles of these posts. I tend to like, you know, when I think of like all the drama recently, and they were like, it was all cool kid drama. Like, you know, like people like me who've run businesses on WordPress for 19 years, like, weren't really affected at all, except I saw opportunities to upsell my customers to pull them away from WP Engine or whatever. You know, I was like looking at it as a marketing opportunity. I don't know. I actually don't know how important these things are, really. Like, to, I'm sure that it's like, okay, like any huge organization, every little bit of effort matters. You can push and pull it in different directions. And so I'm fully cognizant of that. I just don't know.
Well, I do understand where you're coming from, Toby, because part of me thinks it's much about nothing. But I think when, you know, the great leader threw that hand grenade and started all this about his problems with WP Engine, I think that heightened it. But I think the second article, which both are on the Repertory website, I do think that WordPress in the kind of broader developer community, it's not that sexy, you know, especially if you're in that JavaScript React crowd. There's a lot of YouTube channels and Slack groups and whatever, you know, they really kind of look down on WordPress to some degree. And in this article, it says it's around PHP and some other elements, and I kind of agree with it, but it is what it is. So, Mark, what do you reckon?
I'm trying to really quickly skim this article that you posted at the last second.
Well, let's go to Spencer then, because Spencer.
Yeah, go ahead.
Spencer doesn't need to read anything.
Spencer, I'll have an opinion.
He'll have an opinion anyway. So, Spencer, what do you think?
You know, I. Part of, all jokes aside, part of what I've done in the last year is just detach myself from most of the drama and most of the conversation. And here's why. Regardless of, I think we have another story about it too. Regardless of whatever happens in Matt Mullenweg's litigation or what happens in the WordPress core, I am fairly comfortable for myself and my customers that WordPress as a platform, as a software platform, will persist, and not only persist, but I think for myself at least, is the basis for a whole new generation of solutions that involve the things that I'm particularly interested in, and many other people are as well. Like, I'm doing a brand new operating system on top of it, but using the core of WordPress as the platform, because I read another article that said, like, the WordPress is the Rodney Dangerfield of platforms because it just gets no respect. It's been around forever, but it's got every freaking utility and thing built in, from REST APIs to, you know, Python, to go on up and down the channel. Point is, whatever those guys do inside their little clubhouse talking about who runs it has zero effect on the outcome to me. And we here had such a fun time for many years talking about the community WordPress. I think the community, quote unquote, aspect is moving on. And this year I'm excited because I'll travel there to things like what Raquel is doing with, you know, her event, or what other people are doing with their events. Because just like, the 2 years in Portland and the WordCamp and all the Mullenweg just denying like ever like coming to terms with what happened with his litigation. He's still like, he's trying to like not apologize for, you know, being a bad actor in the family. I just don't care about it anymore. So this is to me like, okay, cool. You guys are doing stuff in court. Great. As long as the code still exists for everybody to see, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to get, because I did throw this second story in on the last minute, but do you think in general WordPress in the wider, the younger developer community, you know, working for small agencies, working for themselves. Do you that really into React or Vue, really into the JavaScript? Do you think that WordPress has a real image problem?
No, I want to answer this bifurcated. I'm going to say WordPress is the best kept secret in the world in plain view after 20 years, because it gets no respect. It gets no exciting news about compared to Node.js or React or this or that. But when hopefully people who've been here forever start making really cool, what used to be called headless solutions, now we're going to call it AI enabled solutions. Like, I'm enamored with Claude Desktop talking to WordPress through an MCP and an, you know, and a capabilities plugin. People are going to be like, holy shit, I cannot believe this has been sitting here all day long. And I can start a WordPress site for $8 a month, fully secure, hosted with all these different things. The infrastructure is crazy. And all that has to happen is somebody has to ignore the noise coming out of automatic.
Because yeah, it's a little bit unfortunate, this, you know, because I do agree with you on that. So, Mark, what do you think? Have you had time to have
a I kind of feel like from the inside looking out to a degree, it's like, I don't know. The cool kids don't shop at Walmart either, but they're not hurting. So, you know, it's like kind of like what Spencer said. First of all, there's nothing that does what WordPress does. Okay. It doesn't have the infrastructure, doesn't have the capabilities, it doesn't have, you know, and I think that ultimately the cool kids, when they get over the fact that they're cool, they're going to start looking at what's practical and what makes them the money. And they'll forget about whether or not they're cool. They're just going to look at, hey, this is practical. This works. This does what I want it to do. And I have, you know, the support I need. I have the functionality I need, and I can save a ton of time by doing this or that because I don't have to, you know, I can just get what I need when I need it. So I think kind of like, who cares whether or not it attracts the cool kids, because the cool kids eventually are going to get over being cool and they're going to become practical.
Well, it's not only cool, isn't it? You know, there's a divergence between a freelancer, a small agency, a medium-sized agency, or somebody that's trying to get their skills so they can work for a medium to large or Fortune 500 company. You know, there's a diverseness, if there's such a word, between the skills that you would want to get a full-time higher technology position in web development design for a larger company, then...
Do you think anybody is really doing that, though? Like,
I don't honestly know, Spencer.
In today's world, I think that's a question, too, because if you're trying to get a job at a Fortune 500 company, and I have a 21-year-old who's a senior in college, he's in finance, but he also does programming. Like, there's nobody hiring people like they used to hire us for those jobs, because if he or anybody, a woman, man, or whatever, came out with a situation where, like, I have skills... I think the skills are going to be like, I can teach this company or show this company how to do things with the new tools, but not necessarily because of this or that platform. WordPress is never going to escape the legacy of its architecture and its historical nature. But when people who are entrepreneurs start using it to be the basis of their solutions, I think that's where it delivers the sort of, here's my metaphor. Like, we thought we were going to run out of oil until they figured out how to frack. And suddenly...
I think you misunderstood my position here, I was agreeing with you. Kurt, what do you think?
I feel like you waited to talk to me about this because you know how impassioned I am about the entire subject. And we blended the two articles, kind of. So the internal core team at WordPress, I'm just going to go on record saying that it seems, by the way the article's written, like they have all the responsibility and none of the power and none of the authority, right? All the departments still stay completely autonomous. But I will tell you, when I signed up to host the local WordPress meetup, I had to join their Slack channel. And then that Slack channel gave other people access to me. I want to make that clear. I didn't get access to them. It's like they got access to me. Like they saw, oh, fresh meat. And then these different department heads started reaching out like, oh, could you help us with some training? Could you help us with this? And nobody seemed to know what the other hand was doing. And so if this is some kind of way to consolidate and take away some of that friction, more power to them, right? It only seems to make sense that you would have some kind of, you know, glue that sticks things together. Now, this topic of being the cool kids or not the cool kids, I speak at schools. So I went to the schools and 60 kids wanted to hear what I had to say about running my WordPress agency. And I don't call it a WordPress agency, but for the sake of this show, it's a WordPress agency. But I say, hey, I'm running an online agency. And 60 kids who take IT classes at school came to my talk. And I had the presentation, and then WordPress was in the presentation, and everybody was just kind of staring at me. And I said, well, hold on, show of hands, how many people know what WordPress is? And only two hands went up in a room with 60 kids where they all have an interest in working on the internet. And then I said, well, how many people know what open source is? Goose egg. Nobody knew what open source was. And that's what caused us to launch the WP Agency Academy thing that we're doing. Because if young people aren't being taught this through our official school system, being brought up with things, if they're being taught, you know, everything except WordPress, and they don't know that that opportunity is there. To Spencer's case, a lot of these kids aren't going to get out and find great paying jobs. They're going to have to use an entrepreneurial skill to build a job. When you can't find a job, get creative and invent a job. And so we're going to teach people through an apprenticeship program how to build their own successful agencies.
That's fantastic. Before we go on to the next story, I've got a question for Toby. So Toby, you know, I don't know if you mix with a lot of local agencies, digital agencies. Where do you think agencies, obviously you do a very popular podcast and you're committed to WordPress, but in your other hats, when you're talking to other agency owners in your city, where do you think WordPress, do you think agencies still look at WordPress as a major platform, or are they looking at like Wix Studio or some other professional platforms? Where do you sense people that are not in this bubble but that are running freelancers or small agency owners see WordPress?
Yeah, well, in my experience here, the pressure for WordPress is coming from the companies. Like the junior level marketing people are putting upward pressure to implement WordPress because it's a solid platform. Like they know they can use it, and they don't know any tech. They just go, I use WordPress and it was good. And they just don't trust. Well, first of all, I have a site I'm working on Wix. It's nowhere, like to Spencer's point earlier, like this is, it's not even night and day. It's like God created the world. That's where Wix is at. And WordPress is on day 8 right now, you know, in that. Right. And I think the main pressure on WordPress isn't going to be the corporate site. It's that none of the AI tools utilize it. V0, Vercel. If you want to spin up a site that does something awesome, WordPress isn't even in the vernacular of V0. It's like it has no idea what WordPress is. Same with Claude and ChatGPT. If you want to actually spin up an app, like say, you know, the big allure of AI right now is spin me up an app in 1 minute, and you type some stuff and it spins it up. None of those tools know what WordPress is in that context. And that is a problem for WordPress, I think. Now, I saw, I don't know if you've been following the Telex project that Automattic is running. It's awesome. It's basically taking Vercel, but building WordPress blocks that you can then download and put in your site. It's really cool. And it's that equivalent. I mean, it's not one-to-one because we're talking WordPress blocks versus a full-fledged app, but it's really something. And I could see that product becoming interesting at some point.
Oh, that's fabulous. So let's go on to the next story. Google begins its battle for the unofficial currency of the internet. One court case finishes, but it always seems to be an endless next one. So our experienced legal expert, Spencer, what did you think of this story?
I'm looking for my legal hat and my bell to ring to start charging you. The thing that's interesting, which I can relate to conversations we've had in the past, is, hey kids, let's go back to the 1890s. The Gilded Age had a lot of monopolies,
Rockefeller and Carnegie, you know, oil railroads and so forth. They realized ultimately, even they themselves looked in the mirror, realized it was bad for their finances and bad for society to allow monopolies, like one company. Google got away with, what was it, 25 years of lying to the public, And I remember on this show, I keep it by my bed at night and look at it, is the shows with Rand Fishkin and me, like, telling Rand Fishkin, like, your whole business is based on a lie. And Rand is such a smart dude. He someday woke up to it and went on to his new thing. But, like, Google has been lying to everybody and an entire industry built around it. What I like is they've somehow managed, even without apologizing for lying, to reinvent themselves by taking the quadrillion dollars that they have and essentially circus and bread and throwing every freaking possible amazing toy at us that you could ever imagine, from Google Flash, Gemini Flash Image 2.2, Veo 3.0, Google Vid Studio, to, like, in the search engine at the top is AI. Gemini is now going to have itself built into Chrome desktop. Like, my head is spinning with how many free things. And why are they doing it? Because there's no other freaking way to survive. They realize, like, we got a quadrillion dollars and everybody is just going to believe whatever bullshit we say. So the faster we become Apple with the iPhone and the walled gardens of, you know, FaceTime and all the other stuff that you, the better it is, because we're never going back to search. So my mixed feelings are amazing that I can tell clients, hey, kids, watch what happens when I make a 2-minute video and put two words under the keywords and it shows up at the top of Google and in the top of YouTube. But the bad thing is there's still entire industries of marketing companies that are lying to their customers about SEO and about Facebook ads and all these other things.
I just want to point out, listeners and viewers, obviously, if you feel that any defamation has been caused here, just send the letters and emails to Spencer. Yes. Don't send them to me.
Jonathan Denwood has zero to do with any words out of my mouth historically.
The panel's opinions are their own.
Don't bother him. Yes, by the way, are you living near each other now?
I've got bigger problems to deal with than dealing with emails about panelist remarks.
It's a 12-year history.
All right. So, Mark, what do you think, Mark?
It's one of those rare instances where Spencer said it for me. I pretty much agree with him 100% on all of that. It's very cool and very scary at the same time. And I think that there's a lot of,
my own opinion.
You know, I agree with Spencer. It's like he pretty much nailed it. That's it.
Toby, I'm going to give my own opinion, and then you can tell me if I'm on something or I'm a delivering idiot. I think Google has been given a pass, and to some extent, but a lot of large technology companies have been given a pass. And I think this all comes from 9/11. I think the government, this is to Toby, and then you can jump in, Spencer. Yeah. I think this all started around after 9/11, Toby. And they wanted to monitor, I'm not saying it for good reason, bad reasons, or indifferent reasons. That's out the scope of this podcast. But they wanted technology to monitor every conversation online and have, you know, and Snowden and other people, they invested billions and billions and tens of billions, and they needed major IT entities like Google, Oracle, to build this infrastructure of monitoring. And they were just given a pass because they were useful to government. So the gloves have always been off them because they built the infrastructure of surveillance, really. What do you reckon, Toby?
The way I understand the bigger picture of this article, it's that there are very limited ways to get exposure for your business. And one of the main ways is google.com.
Yeah.
And it's probably the main way. if you're in an app store, then you deal with that whole problem of you're either in the Google App Store or the Apple App Store. To your point, I think you're right. Like, Google would love to watch every single interaction that we have with everything we do in it.
Well, they do, don't they?
So the U.S. has clearly, if they have an anti-monopoly policy, it's clearly failed. Like, there's no, I don't think that can even be argued. But the question I always wonder is, okay, so what? Like, we still invest heavily. My company invests heavily in SEO. And I think, I'm not sure exactly what you're getting at, Spencer, but I actually, and it's kind of what you're saying. I actually, as someone with an SEO team, we see enormous opportunities to game the current AI overviews in Google and to do what you're saying. Let's create a quick video that jacks up our, gets us to number one in YouTube. And the problem still exists is that you need to create a video on YouTube, which is Google owned. You need to do some BS to rank in the AI overview. And so the people are still getting crappy results by and large. Is the more people that participate in this, like, cycle of ridiculousness.
No, I'm sorry to interrupt. I think you're spot on there, Toby. I actually remarked, I did another podcast, and afterwards I remarked to Kurt that I actually think things are going to get worse, because when you have these AI overviews, and on the other side, you're going to have paid placement. Do you really think that the AI is not going to be recommended the products that are paid to be placed there? Are you that naive to think there isn't a conflict there of interest? Well, obviously, and they're all going to do it. ChatGPT, Claude, they're all going to do paid placement. I'm telling you, they're going to do it. They're looking at it. But they know that's going to be an enormous conflict of interest by doing it. So they're all discussing it, I can tell you, Toby.
What I want to add to what Toby was saying, or what you were asking, is, first of all, the reason that Google got a pass is because their founders were smart enough to shut up and not get involved in public politics or those kinds of things that other oligarch founders have done. Okay. They just, like, you don't hear about Sergey and Larry in that regard. And so nobody's pissed off at them on right, left, middle, or anything, which is good for business. Like Larry Ellison, he made $250 billion this year. You just shut up and everybody partnered with him. As far as Toby's comment, I think it's 100% correct what you're saying, but I think the term SEO and organic search is where I'm focusing my energy. Everybody needs to know how to get attention for their clients. That's the purpose of what many of us do. But gaming the system for the new rules and the new things is 100% right. And I do, in fact, agree with what Jonathan says. Part of gaming the system is going to be understanding how they've manipulated the AI results in a way that you can give the AI what it wants. But that's slightly different, although not entirely different, than the effing bullshit that went on every time there was, oh, it's a Pando update. And all of your sites just went to zero because they just decided to turn the knob. And guess what? You got to pay us to know what the secret is. That whole Wizard of Oz game they played is offset by the fact that Google is not the only AI in town. And I think that's different. Google's search engine was the only game in town. But with AI, now you have four or five
other. I think you're not wrong. I just also think Google, for purely merciless commercial reasons, profit, have also reduced the quality even before AI really hit. The quality standards were declining. And I think they knew that, Spencer, but they didn't care because the money was actually going up. So they really didn't care.
I mean, they're going to make their money through these other tools, because I got to tell you, I'm like a crack addict when it comes to paying for API access now, because the stuff that I'm able to do is exponentially increasing my output and I'm making tools for other people that can use those APIs. Again, they've just created a gumball machine into which everybody wants to put quarters. That's it.
Right. So, Kurt, what's your remark about my initial statement that I think Google was given a pass because they were really useful for government, really. And most of these large IT technology players like Oracle, Microsoft, they they were really useful for the government and their end purpose, which was mass surveillance, basically, for good, bad, or indifferent.
Well, you know me, Jonathan, I'm probably a little more cynical than you in this area. You'll notice that a lot of these questions and a lot of these hearings or things always come up like the year before an election cycle. You know, they got to do some fundraising and the money makes the things go around. And so, you know, look on the calendar when Mark Zuckerberg had to go and defend Facebook. Oh, about 8-9 months before people were rounding up funding for election season. So, you know, this year it's, hey, let's go after Google and let's see how strong their lobbyists are in filling our bank accounts for the next election cycle. That's just the way I see it. I've always been amazed since I've been a kid, and I know that this makes me very, very naive. I understand it makes me naive, but I've always been amazed ever since I was a kid. Someone found something, someone builds something, someone succeeds at building something. And then when it gets big enough and they make enough money at it, someone comes along and goes, you got to split that up and sell it off. You're making too much money. And that always seems like a really weird thing to me. Like, you get penalized for success. I get it. But like, I was just a kid when they broke up the Bell telephone system. Right. And I was like, that's weird. They grew that business into this giant thing and then they got forced to split it up. And I understand that there's legal reasons for this stuff, but it's like, as a business, you want to be really successful, but just fly beneath that radar of getting pulled into court, right?
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. I don't totally agree, but I will have to think about what you just said there, because
there's antitrust difference. There's not success. Anti-competitive behavior. When you own 100% of the infrastructure and you block people from getting into there, that's not the same thing as success.
Yeah, you're right, Spencer. But there's a middle place, isn't there?
I get that there's a legal term for it. It just frustrates me. It's like we get mad at Matt Mullenweg, right? Because he invented WordPress. Now it's 43% of the internet, and we want him to be like more generous.
You're mad at him for having Otto kick people out for no reason. We're not mad at him for success. That's like being mad at Tony Soprano because he took care of all the garbage contracts. Well, if everybody can't get their garbage unless they pay Tony Soprano, that's not really a business that is good for society. If Google has 99% of the market share and nobody can get in there to compete, or if Matt Mullenweg kicks you out because he doesn't like what you said, that's not fair business. That's bad for society. And that's the same thing as any nefarious business. You can be successful, but also not do it in a way that is anti-competitive.
That's a good place to end our first half, folks. We're gonna have a break, folks, and when we come back, we've got some other fabulous stories to discuss. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to take the opportunity to point out that we've got some fabulous deals from the sponsors, plus a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services, all tried out by the WP Tonic team, and a load of other resources for you, my beloved tribe. Where do you go to get all this free and great stuff? Go over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. What more could you ask for, my beloved WordPress professionals? Probably a lot more, but that's all you're going to get on that page. Let's go straight into... Oh, by the way, we've got some new sponsors that will be starting with us in October. We've got a major sponsor and some sponsors that sponsoring us for a couple of months. It's very much appreciated. You'll be learning more in October. Let's move on. Article on the WP Minute. What do AI site builders mean for freelancers? So, Toby, what do you think? You know, it comes from the founder, Matt Medeiros. What do you think AI website builders mean for freelancers?
I think, I mean, to me, it's just a tool. I repair guitars in the room behind this curtain here, and there are good tools and bad tools for guitar repair. We use ZipWP, which is like, so I have an agency with designers and developers and salespeople and everything. And we started using ZipWP, and like, it's helpful. Like at times we don't use it on everything, but like for like, sometimes we'll spin up some, like some, we'll be like, we need some ideas to throw at this person. And it's like, click a mouse. We have 30 ideas to pull from, but it's not like I'm going to pitch those ideas to the client though. Like I have to like go through them and do like, we probably take some, redesign them. I think like all this AI talk in general, and if you talk to developers, they all say the same thing. It's still about marketing and selling at the end of the day. If you don't have someone to sell it to, and if you can't sell it to them, you have a problem.
To say the least. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Well, I'm really gun shy in endorsing AI for the masses. This is a ongoing kind of position for me, but I'm still the hypocrite because I use AI every day myself.
No, I wouldn't say. I think you've been very harsh on yourself. I think you just got a realistic attitude.
Yeah, it's when a client hits me up with an email and says, "Hey, I just vibe coded this cool plugin. I want you to put it on my website." It's like, no, that's not how the internet works. Let's slow this thing down. Let's validate some code. Let's, you know, you're just trying to make it more difficult. Okay, whatever. Find another vendor. So there is a struggle there. There is a struggle. But I mean, to Toby's case, you know, I'm an advocate for tools like ZipWP, or in our own example, Jonathan, you know, the Cadence starter site with the AI component to it.
I think it's quite nice, but it's not, yeah. It doesn't solve, it's just another tool, isn't it?
Well, but it makes a great first draft and kind of breaks that writer's block on making a website from scratch. And that can sometimes be the tool that gets the customer to actually take those first two or three steps, which are all important to getting to, you know, publishing a site and getting them some kind of voice on the internet. I find that the projects that I've worked on where I started from scratch, we're going to do a full complete custom design, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Like you get stuck in this like reiteration decision by committee nonsense. Whereas when you have an AI tool that says, you know, here's 16 or 17 different formats, here's some different color palettes, here's, you know, we're going to take a paragraph of what your business is and we're going to lay out some headlines that match your project. It gives the client just like they're over that writer's block, and then they see it and they go, well, this headline should say this instead, and this picture should be changed for this picture. But the format's there, and everything's like that starter content, that first draft. To me, that's where AI is amazing, but you still need a professional to come in and tweak and make it the product it needs to be.
Well, if you want to get a result, to get a business result, you know, but everything, I agree with everything you've laid out, but but if you want to get a result, there's a lot more that's going to have to be done.
In a very real world scenario, Spencer stole my website for one of his lives and rewrote my homepage for me. And a lot of it I used.
Without a net.
Yeah, there we go. Just
Fernando.
There we go.
Is that lives or lives?
Twin.
One of his lives.
Lives.
W, live, L? Okay.
Right. So, Mark, what do you think?
I just had an experience yesterday, and it hit me that as long as there are people out there that don't know the difference between a registrar and DNS and hosting, there's always going to be a need for an agency to create sites. So AI, like both Toby and Kurt have touched on, it's a tool. It's like I go to work on a car. If I don't know which wrench, you know, if I don't know that I need metric on this car or standard on this car or whatever, it's just a wrench. And knowing how to use it and when to use it and how to use leverage and how to leverage it. I also am a big fan of using AI for the first iteration of almost anything, because that does spark my creativity. And sometimes it sparks my anger because I'm like, this is so bad that that's where the inspiration comes from to fix it. But, you know, I think AI is very useful in that sense, but I we're a long way from it replacing people. And the reality is, most people, they want to run their business. They don't want to mess with the website. The person I spoke with yesterday is, I want to know nothing about any of this.
Yes, I do agree with you there. But there's me and Kirk have been dealing with this a little bit. There's a lot of people that say that, but they make out that they're kind of web experts in the same. They say to you, I don't want anything to do with it. And then they're saying things about DNS that are totally wrong, but they're saying it like they actually know what they're talking about. You get a lot.
Well, yeah, you're always gonna get those. And I think we all do that too. We all do things where we know just enough to be dangerous, and then we get diarrhea of the mouth. I know I certainly do. But I think that,
yeah, but it's a difference.
I think that what we're looking at here, honestly, is we're looking at from our point of view. I would want to do all this myself. I would want to get my hands dirty because I'm a technical guy. I like to tinker. I like to do this and then the other thing. But when you get out into the real world of people who only know how to open up a browser and go where they're going, they really don't have an interest in this stuff.
I see where you're coming
a little bit, but
yeah.
But for the most part, I think that, let's just say that there's still a massive blue water opportunity.
Don't get me wrong, Mark. I prefer to deal with people that just want to get a result. Then
who doesn't?
Yeah. Much clearer. So, Spencer, I just want to give you this quick story. I've been going on a lot of other people's podcasts, and it's been quite educational. And I was on a podcast a couple of days ago and been interviewed, and a lady was a very impressive lady. She works for a major SaaS company, and she sells very high-priced ticket software to local government, state government, and federal government. And she's got a kind of side hustle because she's getting a bit burnt out because it's a very demanding job. She's very well paid for it. And I checked her over and I think she's totally legit, what I could see, and highly intelligent. And she's trying to do the side hustle, and she's trying to build out this website. This is somebody that's got a engineering degree and got an MBA from a pretty good college. And she tried to build her website on WordPress. And she said, I got totally fed up with that. I couldn't make head or tail of it. And then I've gone to Squarespace and I've just about finished it. But that was a nightmare. I've struggled with that as well. So I think in some ways we live in a bit of a bubble because this was not a stupid person. This is somebody that's got quite a very pressurized executive job that's well educated or not, and they struggle with all this. So maybe I think it's linked to the topic about where AI could help, couldn't it? But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I want to break out what you said in a couple elements. First of all, if we can think of making ice cream. If anybody's ever tried to make ice cream at home, you get one of those things with the rock salt and the ice, and you put your cream and your strawberries and you stir it around. You wait 2 hours and you hope it tastes good. The new era of creating website output. At the end of the day, all web browsers currently, HTML5, use the same output. HTML5, CSS. That's it. Yes, jQuery and some other stuff. But the point is, the output of whatever makes the pixels is irrelevant to the fact that the pixels show up on the screen in the universal way. So the question we're saying is, like, that's the ice cream. People are currently enamored with the excitement, like Macromedia Flash, Adobe Flash back in the 90s, of, look, if I wait an hour and a half, the Chinese food menu ice cream will come out and it'd be like amazing, but I got to wait now.
Oh, that was one of the flashlights I built. They loaded pretty quick.
We used to wait an hour for the menu to show up just to see what it would do. It's moving. Look, it's moving on your 56K dial-up. The thing about that is all of the marketing, all the excitement is at the level of this new ice cream is coming out and you can make it yourself. Just talk to the thing and it's going to make ice cream. The reality is that even if you get lucky and vibe code some ice cream, you're never going to make that flavor again. You don't know how the hell it was made. You don't know how to add to it, change it, save it, check for security. You can't expand on it. You can't build a business around it. You don't know where and how to host it in most cases because it's got components like Node.js and React and Python, and you need to have an MCP connector and all these new, like, go on and on. Then it gets worse because all of the big marketing companies like, we've got the best tool ever to make ice cream, but they don't tell you it makes one flavor by chance and then you're stuck. Now, there's another thing. In the stock market, famously, we knew we were in deep doo-doo when your grandma was saying, look, I just bought some stock in this company. Or when she was like doing low interest rate mortgages, I just bought six properties from Washington Mutual. Well, I just saw a video yesterday from one of our most respected characters in WordPress, Jamie Marsland. And Jamie Marsland was talking about how he vibe coded a WordPress plugin. And I almost sort of shit the bed because as soon as Jamie Marsland, Mr. Full Site Editor and stuff, starts talking about that, I know we're all in trouble because here's the real solution. If you take the box of WordPress and you think of it as the place where all the output is created, we have amazing potential. That's where I focus my energy on the tools that allow somebody to thoughtfully create WordPress results but without the layer of all the WordPress plugins today. Like, you need to spend 4 hours opening toggles and moving things around and saving.
Yeah, I'm going to have to cut you off there. It's getting too much of a commercial.
If you take the outcome that is a vibe coded ice cream, and you use tools that are basically at the core, the WordPress tools, but we replace the human part of it with the AI part, magic ensues. And that's where I've had my most success. And I demonstrated it even a month ago with Kurt, but now it's gone even farther where I'm able to have Fernando.
I'm going to have to intervene and go on to the next story because you've had a good go.
Okay, well, I'm just saying.
You know, that's come on, let's move on. On to the next story. You had a good whack at it, Spencer. You had a good whack at
it.
The WordCoin scam just got way worse. And this is a video, and I watched it, and it really this is just my opinion. It told me everything I need to know about Sam Altman, really, everything that I needed. So, Mark, did you have the opportunity to quickly watch this video, and what was your result?
I watched it at 2x speed, about right
before. I've heard the whole thing very creepy in a way.
Yeah, it's really. I hate to get biblical on this, but it's very Mark of the Beast like. It's this whole with the whole orb thing and everything.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, but
and this is the guy that's going to build
Upload. Right. It does have me second guessing my whole marriage with my friend ChatGPT for sure. But I'm still processing it. It's really.
Can you give a quick outline? The one or two things of what the video was talking about, so the audience knows what you're remarking on.
Oh wow. Okay. So I'm trying to remember all the players because there's like the World Coin Foundation, there's World Coin the cryptocurrency, there's this orb thing made by Something of Humanity, which, by the way, anytime any company name has something that sounds altruistic in it, I tend to cringe anyway.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but it seemed a poster child. He learned all his tricks with this company, the wording and how to position things.
Yeah,
Yeah. And he knows the demographic to go after. He's going after all these low income. He's going to these low income, areas, countries, and offering them, you know, this world device that allows you to have like an identity by scanning your retina. And all I'm thinking is, and then there's this eight something corp, I forgot what it's called, but I'm like, I'm shorting that company right now. I mean, if you're gonna, you know, just short them.
Oh, that's the other thing. There's
there's the whole stock market side of it. So yeah. I know that that's not really a good description of everything. But
I think it's called a SPAT when it's a reverse, it's on the stock, you know, it's got every element that So, Kirk, what was your reaction? Was you creeped out a little bit?
I'm not creeped out. I just, again, you know, seeing the money, I'm going to drive around to a bunch of third world villages and I'm going to get people to scan their retina so I can falsely inflate these great numbers of people that have participated so that we can use this identification system to give you access to like high-end video games and online platforms. It's like the people you put in the system don't even have access to video games and platforms. Like what? It's just the whole thing was crazy. And
the idea of these high-end video games even wanting to have something like that is ridiculous as well.
The whole thing is crazy to me.
They're not crazy though. I'd be critical of Mr. Sam Altman, but he's not crazy.
It says it's just scans your retina. It doesn't need any of your personal information at all. But then you validate it with the app in your phone. And I'm like, well, then it marries the scan ID number to all of your information that's in that phone. I'm like, this is a giant, forget it. Like, I'm just out. It's too dystopian for me. I'll just go live in the woods and shoot animals with my homemade bow and arrow and
work
over an open fire, right? Like, I don't even want to be involved in that. In that level of play.
So, Spencer, I don't know if you had time to watch the video, but it had all the elements. But the thing is, what do you think it could be obvious, just make money, but he's making a ton of money. He's got a CEO, a German guy that came out of a university with an AI engineering degree, but I think he's been made head. You know, he's got no previous business. I think he's got an MBA as well. He's German, highly educated. But what do you think they're really up to with all this? What do you think the real... It's not solely the money, because Sam's got, you know, he's got tons of money, hasn't he? He's, you know, what's it all about, really?
I've spoken about this in public, so I don't think I'm going to be, like, surprising anybody who cares to hear this. But my belief is there's a higher level of organization of the world order that has been going on forever. And that when you look at the oligarchs today, including...
He's a lizard man. Is that what you're saying?
There is a component of that, but I don't think he's necessarily a lizard man. But I do want to, with all tongue-in-cheek aside, there are components to the world that even as of this week, like the bugosphere that got carbon dated to 12,500 just years ago. Look it up. There are components to our reality that our societies become conditioned over decades and millennia to think, no, that can't be real. But when you really expand your mind and just look at the facts, everything from quantum mechanics and physics to these kinds of things, it really does make sense that there's a layer of order to how things are governed that is above the normal politicians and human beings and things that we expect. And then when you look at people's behavior, like those of us who ask, why would somebody with $100 million, $200 trillion do crazy shit in public like this? It only makes sense when you think because they're doing the bidding of a larger goal. And one of the goals is a return to a feudal system, not literally, but figuratively, where the majority of human beings are essentially under the control of a larger corporate order, whether it's from this planet or otherwise. And the point of it is not that we have to be victims of that, rather that if we awaken to this idea and just look at what it is, there's 8 billion plus of us and there's very few of them. They only win when they put us against each other and make us, you know, fight in like ants over things at the low level. At the high level, I'm really excited about what AI and what these things that he's talking about have brought to the table. Why?
because they actually democratize it for people who want to just wake up and say, wait a second, what's going on here? So that's about as much as I can say, because as soon as I say more than that, either I run out of time or people just like glaze over, because you're either awoken to the concept and look at it for yourself, or you're not.
I'm kind of leaning.
I don't mean that negatively.
Toby, got one or two quick questions. I don't know if I found the whole thing creepy, really, the whole video, and I find him creepy. This is my personal opinion. I find Sam Altman creepy, to be quite truthful. They say he's very charming and he's very slick. I just find the geezer creepy. And in general, with Silicon Valley, you know, there seems to be a whole bro mob of them, don't they? They want to sack everybody, but the thing is, if you sack everybody, they have no money to buy your actual goods. So you're kind of cutting your throat. Your share's going to go up initially, but in the end, if there's no demand because nobody's got any money, that's a bit of a problem, isn't it? But they seem to glorify in the concept that they've going to replace everybody. And I found this video a real insight about this company and about him, really. What do you reckon, Toby?
So is it gross? Yes. Are they very short-sighted? Absolutely. But I don't think any of that matters to them. I also, Spencer, you had me glazed over as soon as you started talking about interstellar conspiracies, but
there's no conspiracy. It's just the
So Sam, seriously, here I'll summarize it again. Sam Altman creates some orb that's going to scan a bunch of retinas in poor, undeveloped countries. He's going to take that data, sell the data effectively, with basically for $1 a person without their consent.
And it's a non-profit. It's all profit, but he kind of
profit,
but he names it, so it gives the impression that they're going to do some good,
right? And so I heard that and I go, yeah, that's par for the course for every big tech company. He just happens to have a face and his breath probably smells nice, you know, like he's just a guy who's doing the playbook. I don't think like Amazon is doing anything better. Amazon's trying to do, they would love to do that. They probably are doing that. Google's, you know, you think when you scan your retina on your phone to open it, like it's not merging that data and all that. And I just think it's par for the course. Short-sighted, absolutely. Horrible for humanity. This idea that everybody's going to be fired and replaced by tech, it's going to cause wars. It's going to cause huge wars, I think, just because that's the, you know, everybody's going to want what they had, you know?
I think it'd be in the show notes, folks. You really go to the WP Tonic website and it'd be in the show notes and be creeped out, because I was creeped out and I'm normally... I found the whole thing.
If you look at what Peter Thiel talks about, which...
Oh, way, God, I can't watch him anymore.
But I'm saying Sam Altman and the rest of them are in the same group. Is it... Toby, your point is well taken, but I'm not trying to make a conspiracy. I'm saying if one looks objectively at the things said, Peter Thiel speaks to the idea of literally democratizing, taking democratization away in favor of everybody essentially being numerically tracked and eliminated. And it's like frighteningly dystopian, but when you say for $1, I don't think they're necessarily worried about getting $1 per person. I think what they want is for every single human being to be locked into a system where, like in China, so to speak, you're green, red, or yellow. And we don't like you, you're gone. You know, Toby suddenly has no money in the bank, a criminal record of pedophilia, God forbid, and nobody knows his name. And I'm saying that's the worst thing they can do to you, right? Like, is that suddenly you're an outcast from society. And I think the reason is because they feel like they can replace most of humanity with automation and otherwise, and they don't need 8.5 billion ants at the picnic. Not a conspiracy. There seems to be a...
It does seem that way. Yeah, but Peter Thiel, this is my opinion, folks. Peter, please don't come after me. He notoriously goes after...
Well, I mean, these are public statements. These are like, we're not inventing it, Jonathan.
But it's my opinion, Peter. You know, his last interview, I saw a bit of it. He was asked, you know, do you want, do you think it's going to be the end of humanity? And do you think that's not a good idea? It took him 3 minutes of humming and hawing to come back and say, well, no, that isn't a good idea. It's a good idea. It literally took him almost 2 minutes of kind of sucking in and tutting and blurting that out. It gives you an enormous amount of confidence, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's a Spencer's point. I don't think it's a conspiracy. Like, I think they're doing it in the open, and this is like we've become accustomed to it.
Yeah, that's right. The frog in the pot of boiling water. I mean, this is really, including the politics of us fighting against each other and all the politics of the craziness, the more outlandish stuff that happens every day, we all just become numb to it. Like, there are things that happen today on a regular basis that years ago, 1/1000th of those would have been shock and awe, outrage. And when this happens, there's another question you can bring into this conversation because it's part of the public record. All of these oligarchs are spending an enormous amount of their wealth on building humongous compounds with underground tunnels and things. And you start to ask yourself, like, I get the yacht, I get the planes, I get the girls, I get the whatever. But like, why are you guys spending so much money on underground bunkers and things exactly? Now, is it a solar flare?
They're cool.
Is it
no underground tunnels are just cool.
But yeah, but I'm saying, like, you could spend a lot of money on a lot of stuff. And from a guy who grew up in the Cold War, like, you know, having that thing in the backyard underground bunker didn't really work out as a good investment. These guys know that, and yet they're still spending enormous sums of money. And
is it me or it's like all like Mark Zuckerberg, Peter Thiel, Sam, Mr. Musk, they're kind of characters out of a James Bond film as the evil genius, the villain, aren't they? They kind of
Zuckerberg wants to build his underground lair, and Musk wants to get off planet to Mars as fast as possible. And I don't know what Bezos wants to do, but he doesn't seem in that group. But when you look at the behavior of these people, always crossing my mind is this: at what point in your wealth cycle do you change from, like, I can do good with all this money, like Mackenzie Bezos, by the way, seemed to have been the better half with her. She can't give away money fast enough. Where does your brain change from, I'm going to solve and save humanity, to, I know the answer is doing the shit that nobody else is smart enough to hear about. I'm doing it in secret. And for me and all my cohorts, because, like, at some point money doesn't really do anything for you anymore. Right. Like, I don't know where that's at. Maybe $100 million.
I think it has to do with, like, when they made their fortunes, if it was before their prefrontal cortex was completely developed, that's where they're going to stay for the rest of their lives. And like, Jeff Bezos didn't make his money till after he was 25. But you look at, like, Zuckerberg, and you look at Musk, and you look at all these people that you're talking about as being these James Bond villains. They all made their money before their... What's that?
Bezos is in that group. His wife is not.
No, but Bezos, but the thing is that you don't see him necessarily as like this, like, I've got my cat and I'm coming up with, you know,
I mean, maybe not politics, you know, the Washington Post and the mock and
chip. I suppose. Yeah, but there was a James Bond movie that did that, but I kind of feel like it has to do with, like, when your whole, like, brain is fully developed, and that's not till after 25. So, you know.
Well, you kind of mentioned the Gilded Age, Spencer, but they were real hardcore gangster capitalists. But I find them more human than this bunch. There's something really James Bond creepy about these people.
The difference, which is fascinating, if you do watch or read about the Gilded Age, or even go back to the Julius Caesar era, right, the Roman Empire, you will see parallels. The difference was the physical limitations of their capacity held them back. Today, the leverage of technology is what's really compounded the problem. And I do think Mark has a good point, where there is something that trips in the human ego or psychology when you realize that you're an empty shell except for the numbers on your bank account, and that your same bad behavior is now magnified a billion times. You know, because everybody's a dick at some point, but you just do it in your little private
friends. Me.
You know, well, people find out about it.
I am Mr. Dick. Do you want to continue quickly and cover the next two stories, or do you want to end this podcast, my beloved panel?
I have to bail, so I'm going to say
I also have to bug
out. Oh, well, we're going to end it around now then. Yeah. So, Toby, we're ending the podcast, Toby. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you decide to come back in the new year. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Toby?
Yeah, thanks, everybody. This was a lot of fun. Would love to come back and hope to get to know everybody better over the coming weeks and months. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can DM me there. I also have a website, themightymo.com.
I love the name, actually.
Oh, thanks. You know what it's from? You ever see the movie Vacation with Chevy Chase?
I'm a snobby English person. I only listen to Radio 4. I'm sorry.
It comes from that movie, and I'll let people discover it if they are so inclined.
Mark, what's the best way for people to find out?
You can find me on LinkedIn. You can find me at MainWP. You can find me on Twitter, Mark Benzak on Twitter, Facebook, just everywhere. I'm done trying to like have a private life. So you can find me on the World Globe scanner. I made my dollar there. So, you know,
yeah, you made you 60, I think $60.
For 60 bucks. Yeah.
They were saying in the video.
Yeah. It was 60 coins. It was 60 of the,
it was the one
coins.
Of the most, it yeah. was one of the most creepiest videos yeah. I've watched in a long while. It even freaked me out and I didn't think I was freakable. So Spencer, what's the best way for people to find out about you and your beloved AI agent?
I'll be hanging out in my underground lair on my 300 million acres in Kauai. Yeah. Otherwise, at WPLaunchify.com, or you can find me on socials at Spencer Foreman. Leave off the E for savings.
Right. If you enjoyed this and you want to support the show and you're listening on your phone, on iTunes or Spotify, it's really easy to leave a review, my beloved tribe. It really does promote the show and it means that more people be listening or watching this, which enables me to get more sponsors and their money is very appreciated. So if you could do that, we would be also appreciative. And let's be frank about it. What other WordPress tech podcast would you be able to hear this? Nowhere else. I don't know if that's good, bad, or something different, but I've enjoyed it. So hopefully you have, my beloved tribe. We'll see you next month with another WP Tonic Roundtable Show. See you soon. Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. We really do appreciate it. Why not visit the Mastermind Facebook group? And also to keep up with the latest news, click wp-tonic.com/newsletter. We'll see you next time.